Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pour over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pounding.
I just wanted to spend the next 20, 30 minutes chatting with you guys about a couple of things that will probably feel a little bit more like insight into what makes New Covenant, New Covenant, related to my heart and what I feel like the Lord is geared us towards. For those of you who don't know, my name is Chris. I'm Chris Austin. I've been pastoring here at this church for 22 years. And prior to coming back to Woodland Park, my wife Tiffany and I, and Tiffany's in the nursery right now, but my wife Tiffany and I spent 10 years out on the East Coast and then in the Midwest, working with students, working with kids who were locked up, and we became wilderness instructors and so forth. And anyway, that's not really the point of the story. The story has to do with the fact that what Christy was sharing about just this absolute promise from the Lord that Woodland Park is going to experience a tremendous move of God. I've had that in my heart for couple decades now, easy. And we've been through seasons together. And so I just wanted to just share a little bit about what has brought us to where we are now, not in a broad stroke history lesson, but really more specifically about some of the philosophy and just some of the heart behind what we do. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time on that. I just simply wanted to just voice a couple of things. It's interesting how art has come up a couple of times. I talked about the original intent with the art stations. Christy and Mark moved here specifically to pastor artists and to care for the artist community. And to they actually have a school called the Pikes Peak Arts Academy. And so if you're interested, you know, in vocal lessons and piano lessons, I mean, these guys are seriously like top notch. And we've had a history of having just a community of artists that have come in and out, and there's been a bit of a revolving door. But as I'm saying this, I'm hearing myself say the word artist a lot. And I know that some of you might disqualify you from that category. And you might consider this then an artsy-fartsy church, and you may not belong here. Well, that's not necessarily true, because one of the expressions of creativity that I've experienced here as well isn't just in the fine arts, isn't just in music. It's also in entrepreneurial creativeship, creativity. It's also in just engineering, ingenuity. I've experienced folks from this fellowship create, and I mean, Nick, you and Leslie, Laura, you and Ty, the four of you, you invented something this year. And it's amazing. It's that bouldering wall that I don't know if you guys know about this thing, but it's really great. And we had our last Wheelie Wednesday this last Wednesday. And you guys spearheaded this thing where you're not only going to take the ingenuity that you poured into this, you know, this business that you created, but you want to share it with community because, you know, at the heart of it, that's what it's about. It's about forging relationships with people in this community. And so you initiated this thing called Wheelie Wednesday, which was a gathering out behind here in that playground and this area up in here where we had food trucks that were coming in. And I mean, literally, like, I don't know how many people showed up to that thing over the course of the summer. I'd say at least 300-400 people collectively over the course of that summer. That's amazing. And so the type of creativity I'm talking about isn't just in the fine arts arena. And one of the other categories of creativity that I've experienced here firsthand is the creativity of thought. There's a lot of people who have deep insight and experience with the Lord, and they convey in ways that are just really encouraging and life-giving. So there's a lot of ways that creativity gets expressed. When I was a child, I don't know, I was 7 years old, actually, when I moved to Europe. My dad was in the Air Force. I ended up staying there until I was 16. My parents were rare in the sense that they didn't just kind of hole up in their little American community of the military base. My dad would save up his days off, his leave, and we would spend an entire month every summer traveling Europe. And so I grew up going to France and going to Switzerland and Austria and going to Italy and going to these places as a child in my formative years, stepping into big cathedrals and seeing the sculptures and seeing the stained glass and seeing the art on the ceilings and so forth. And I was impacted by that as a kid. And a lot of that had to do specifically with, you know, faith. It had to do with churches and these big cathedrals. And so it made an impression on me as a child growing up that there were ways to express ourselves creatively, not only to God, but for each other. Like, if you know the history, I mean, the reason why a lot of those churches are like that is because, you know, the illiteracy rate was so high that not a lot of people read, and the Gutenberg press hadn't been invented yet. And so this was a way, art was a way for people to experience the stories of God and for those stories to come alive for people visually, for it to impact their heart. And then there was a Reformation, and the Protestants, the Protestants, they decided that there was a lot about the Catholic Church, specifically about the Roman Catholic Church, that they didn't want to be a part of anymore. And so some of what was detached from the Christian expression of the Protestants had to do with some of that art. In fact, if you follow the history, specifically in Germany and in Holland and so forth, there was a move of the Anabaptists, which was a sect of the Protestants that got so anti, you know, art expression that they called it idolatry, and so it left the church. And so there was, and I'm telling you all this not because I want to restore like the Roman Catholic way of doing church with regard to art. I actually want to do a resto mod a little bit. Now, you know that phrase, but it's something that I like regarding, you know, my expressive creative outlet, which happens to be rebuilding old trucks. That's my. And so the resto mod is you take this vehicle and you can restore it to its classic original design, and that actually is a little more valuable. But the way that I like to do them is where I'm restoring it, I'm also modifying it in a way that's more safe and a little more reliable. And so for me, it's not about the resale value, it's more about the functionality of the vehicle. And so the resto mod, I want to go back not to what was expressed in the Catholic Church. I actually want to go back further. I want to go back to how God anointed artisans and craftsmen and creatives when Moses was given direction from the Lord to build a tabernacle. Like there's actually verses in the Bible that speak of the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming upon the artisans to express creatively what God had shown Moses in the way of a vision, essentially. And we don't just see it with Moses. We see it with Solomon. We see it with others. And throughout Scripture, when God gives a blueprint, then he anoints those who are going to like bring that blueprint to life in the real world. So what you have then is a concept that is born in heaven, in the heart of God. That concept is then revealed to a human being, a human heart. We gain understanding of what God imagines. We gain understanding of what God wants. And then we become the bridge that takes something that was born in the unseen world of God's kingdom, and we mash it out into this world of the physical, like, expression of, you know, taste and touch and sight and smell and in all of these different ways that we experience life in the physical, we become the conduit for that transition of God ideas into human expression. You get what I'm saying with this? This is actually prophetic. This is what we would call the prophetic. It's a way of saying it where we kind of offload some of the baggage that gets attached to that word prophetic. We begin to understand the simplicity of, okay, it's really about understanding God's heart and his mind, and then through faith, we begin to express what we're experiencing of God's ideas and his imagination that he releases to our spirits, and we get to express that physically. I've heard it said, I think it was Bill Johnson that said, faith is the mirror of the heart that is able to reflect into the natural world that which exists in the unseen world of God's kingdom. So faith is the mirror that reflects into the natural world of your relationships, of your family, of your co-workers, of your workplace, of your work, you know, pursuits, of your, you name it. I mean, it's just integrated into life, right? Faith is integrated into all aspects of life. So our ability to express what we're experiencing in the unseen world of our relationship with God in this deep interior castle that we live with, this is an act of faith for us to express ourselves. So, that being said, I was going to pull this out. In fact, Levi, would you do me a favor? Underneath the desk in there, underneath all those computers, there's a piece of a window. Some of you are like, where is this going? Do you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, bring that out, would you? I want you to see this amazing piece of art. All right, we'll wait for it. I'm being facetious with the whole amazing piece of art thing. It's actually a piece of cheap plastic. Okay, that's a remnant of what used to be on the side of our building. Bring it in a little bit closer up in here. You can see it got spray painted. And then there's this plastic. Anybody remember when our church used to have these windows?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going way back. Okay? Thanks, Levi. You can prop it up right there. All right. Thanks, buddy. I had an experience with a man who was an integral part of this fellowship. His lovely wife, Bernice, is still here with us, and you've been here for years, 18 years. So I met Bernice and Ernie about 3 years into my time here, maybe 4 years into my time here. And after Ernie passed away, I was thinking about him, and I was like inspired with some thoughts, because he was all about water. Like, the man loved water. That's where his profession was. I mean, he was a hydrologist for years, right, with the USGS. And so, but it was more than just water and how it works. He was about a move of God, which, if you read in Scripture, I mean, there's a river that flows from the throne of grace, and we have this stream of water flowing from us. It's the Holy Spirit moving through our lives. I mean, so this metaphor of water works, right? And so now if you look at the stained glass windows that the Lord inspired me to kind of sketch out and work with a stained glass artist, you'll see that there's a theme there of water on both of those. And those windows are dedicated to Ernie. May have been this entire time. And I just wanted to point out that there was something that is born of relationship and something that is born of a man's prayer and his desire for God to move in a community that was expressed then through stained glass now, that when people walk the sidewalks and they look up at this building, they see that, and my prayer is that they don't just see an unusual piece of stained glass that's a one-off piece, you know, that they actually connect with something of God's heart to flow into the city. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
All right. Here's a more full understanding of why this is important for us as a fellowship. I think what it does is it actually cultivates in each one of us. Like, if we were to take some time, even though you might put yourself in that category of I'm not very artistic, if you were to go ahead and let yourself start to express some things maybe a little bit differently. I mean, I've been talking for a month now about frontier. Maybe art is a new frontier for you. Maybe expressing yourself creatively is a new frontier for you. Because what that does is it actually cultivates the spiritual gifts of revelation, the spiritual gifts of prophecy, the spiritual gifts of words of knowledge. There's all this revelatory gift mix that God has for his people that we can start to exercise in a variety of ways. And art is one of them. It's not the only way, but it's certainly one of them. And it can help you activate those gifts in a very safe environment, in a very safe way. So that's one of the reasons why we have the art station. It also validates what I call and what I've been taught to refer to as the sanctified imagination. A lot of us who grew up distrusting the heart, distrusting our imagination, we grew up maybe in a culture of church where, you know, it was all about annihilating the soul to make room for Jesus. Well, listen, Jesus is big enough to integrate into the capacity of my soul to express myself. So it's not about annihilating anything other than surrendering entirely to the Spirit of Christ that's taken up residence in me. My soul needs to yield. And when my ego and my soul yields, then it has a far better chance of being more bright, more creative, more expressive than it was before him, right? So that's the whole point about our souls coming into submission to the work of God in our lives. And when we do that, guess what comes online? Our imagination. In fact, Jesus, I mean, it's referred to in a letter to the church, I think in Ephesus, where we have been given the mind of Christ. All right, so it goes that far as to say your imagination has been sanctified. The finished work of the cross has actually redeemed your life as it was intended. And so let's start stepping into that. So this is one benefit of just activating our sanctified imagination. And it encourages us to have what I've also learned to call episodic encounters with Jesus, with the Trinity. Now, this is the big word, right? Episodic. What is that? I don't know. It's like episode. Think about it in terms of an experiential episode or an encounter. So we have different ways that we know things. We know data. We know certain things that are less experiential. Like a lot of us were raised up in a church where it was all about knowing information about God, but never really experiencing and encountering the presence of the Lord. And so for us to have episodic encounters with Jesus means that it's going to be vibrant and alive, and it's going to have a fluidity to it and a power in it that's going to transform us. Just like episodic experiences formed your original sort of lens on how you see the world, maybe you've had some terrible experiences in life. Maybe some of the episodes that you've gone through in life and the memories that you hold and the knowledge that you have were established through trauma or loss, tremendous suffering. And then you established a filter of how to look at God, how to look at yourself, how to look at others through that lens. And the Lord meets you. And he's like, in the same way that those filters were established, I want to transform you through the renewing of your mind. And this experiential encounter with me in these episodic like engagements that I can have with you are going to be the healing journey that we're going to go on together to change your filter. And it might take decades or days. I don't know. What I do know is that Jesus is faithful to meet with us. And he wants to encounter us. And he wants to like speak to us in our language, like how our heart responds in the deepest ways. And it's not just about putting more information in our brains. It's about having a heart connect with the Trinity. And so when we allow ourselves in a safe place to start expressing what this episodic experience might have looked like, then that validates and it reinforces what God is doing. And it helps, I think, in our transformative process. I want to read this. This was actually in the art station over there. I'm not going to tell you who wrote it. But this is about an episodic experience with Jesus. I know this girl. She's in high school. And she goes to this fellowship. And she's not here right now. She and her family are away this weekend. I saw Jesus. My horse had died, and I was grieving. And I had a dream. My horse had walked up to me and said, I took a walk with Jesus. And Jesus was standing off to the side, smiling, wearing a purple sash and a white tunic. Then a little bit later on in life, I had another dream. And I was in a forest, and I was in a big hole. And Jesus was standing above me, holding out his hand and wearing a blue sash, smiling. Then a little later in life, I went to a dance camp for creative worship. And one of the teachers says, close your eyes and imagine taking Jesus' hand. Grab it. I had already dreamt that. That's my revelation. P.S. Jesus looks just like the painting that girl painted. That's the painting that Melanie painted. Melanie spent, I don't know, how many weeks did Melanie spend painting this? You guys remember?
All summer.
It was all summer last year. Melanie set up an easel right there, and during worship and during our times of talking, she had gotten a vision of Jesus, and she only painted it here at New Covenant. She didn't take it home with her and paint it. She only painted it here when she was gathered with us on a Sunday morning. And she painted this picture of Jesus. And so you have a blending now of a community of people that are beginning to validate these like episodic experiences with Jesus, like the girl grabbing those dreams and saying, Jesus met me. And then you have Melanie, who has a vision of Jesus, and she paints it, and this girl connects with it and says, that's him. There's a box right here, and it is full of art that people had left in the art station. I'm not going to go through all of this. I'm just simply going to say that it is so, so encouraging. I was going to pull one or two of them out. I just can't decide. I really like them all. I'm going to set them here. Are these people artists? I would say yes. Are they professional artists? No. Some of them who were painted over there were probably painted by someone who was 13 years old. But I can tell you this, that we have used this art in this fellowship for the last probably 10 years. And one of the things that we do is we make copies of it and we hang it up in our prayer station, like when there was some outreach going on. And I won't go into all the details of that outreach, but suffice it to say that there was a team of people from this fellowship who were going into New Age festivals, New Age expos, and places where a lot of New Age practitioners who do tarot cards and who do psychic readings and who do all sorts of different, you know, practices, Reiki healing and all that kind of stuff. They gather, and here we are, Christians, with the sole purpose of wanting to go into that space and bless spiritual seekers. So they come into our space, and we have a lot of art that's hanging up on the wall or around our tent space. And someone might, we ask them, go and see if a piece of art touches your heart. And they'll pull it off, and they'll come and they'll have a seat with us. And we'll be like, what captivated you in that piece of art? And it might be the phrase that's written in here, like, for example, if you believe something is true, then whatever you believe will control you, whether it is true or not. And this is done in a very artistic way. And they might grab that. I can remember one story of a vendor who was across the hall from us at this expo. Remember this, Laura? Yeah. And he's looking at this picture. Now, this picture I don't have here, but this picture was actually technically not great. I'll just be honest with you. It's pretty bad. I was actually looking at it before we were getting started. I was like, we sure we want that one up there? Yes, we're not that pretty. It wasn't about that at all. In fact, what it was, it had stick figures, and it had this car that had been wrecked out in this field, and there was this little town in the background. And he just looked at that. I don't quite recall his reaction, but I know he said something to the effect of, that's me. That's my story. And he pulled it down, and we sat down with him, and two people began to pray and minister to him all weekend. He just kept coming back, coming back, coming back. He's just like, oh my gosh, this is me. Like, I had this car accident, I almost lost my life. And we just had so many encouraging, like, Jesus was just all over this guy, right? And we just were able to just pray for him and bless him. And it all happened because someone on a Sunday morning, and the painting was as random as it could be, right? It didn't even have a cross in it. No Christianese. It was just like, we'll take it. We believe that the Lord inspires people here and they express themselves artistically. And we'll put it up there and we'll see if it connects with someone's heart. That guy had to come to Jesus meeting that weekend because of that. Isn't that exciting? We have no idea. Well, I have a little bit of a clue. I just know that it's bigger than simply, hey, let's escape. It's not that at all. In fact, it's the opposite. Let's go deep. And that's not to say that if you're not the artist and that you never go over to the art station, that you're less than. It's not saying that at all. It's simply saying all of us, in the incredible blend of God's gifts in our lives and God's temperament that he's created us with and the design that he's put in our lives, it all points towards a purpose, and it's all celebrated, and it's the variety of it is huge. It's just like wide spectrum, okay? So we just want to validate a couple of things here. One is that God speaks. He meets with us. He longs to encounter us. Our hearts are made for that. We can have an experience with God in the interior place of our life, and our faith can begin to express it in the natural world. And that might start with you working with art, and it might lead to you standing up before thousands of people conveying what God has put on your heart for them. It may be you expressing God's love and his thoughts and his heart and his emotions, everything related to God for another person in your own family. Maybe that crazy uncle at the family gatherings where you're just like, there's no way. And that God would use something so incredibly disarming, like a piece of beauty. Who knows? My point is that we want to go there continuously. And so I'll close it out with this encouragement. It's a bit of a departure, but again, not really. It's going to come back full circle here in just a minute. Like I said, the last couple of months, or last month at least, I've been talking about the frontier, and I've been asking this question, what is the frontier that God is inviting you into? That new space, that new understanding, that new challenge, that new wilderness, et cetera, et cetera. And we get the encouragement that God's up to that kind of stuff from 1 Corinthians 2:9, when he says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the human heart has not imagined all that God has for those who love him. So if you have a yes in your heart for God, and if you have a desire to follow him, then there are things that you've never seen before. There are things you've never heard before. There are things that your heart has not imagined before that God has prepared for you. And he wants to give you the courage to step into that frontier with him, whatever it looks like, okay? And at the heart of any frontier with God, there are two things. The first one is personal transformation, maturing into the image of Christ more fully. That's one. And the second one is intimacy with the Trinity. Any frontier that God is inviting you into, and you need to remember the story that Christy just shared. It's like moving to Woodland Park for them was a frontier. There's a couple of standards with frontiers. They usually don't look like you imagine them on the front end. And they typically will involve a process. I've heard Chris Vallotton quote. He just says, between the promise and the palace, there's a process. And so in that process, and I so appreciate where the Lord brought us this morning in worship, we needed encouragement. We needed to remember that he's in that waiting time. He's in that process, all right? So where are we at in that? But ultimately what it comes down to is that there is intimacy with the Trinity that is really at the heart of this. It's just that God wants to give us the capacity. He wants to help us love him. He wants to help us find him more deeply. So I believe that our frontier is a fellowship. And what I want to be very intentional about, you guys listening to this, I know we've been talking for a while. Don't miss this. I believe that the frontier that God is calling us into as a community is to cultivate really a growing, loving, personal relationship with each aspect of who God is expressed in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And my hope is that we would experience a move of God that brings us into a renewed sense of wonder with Him, really what we could call a spiritual awakening. And so that's been my heart, actually, over this last month, that we personally would begin to ask the question, what is the frontier that God is inviting me into? And then that collectively will translate into a frontier that God is bringing us into as a fellowship. And I believe there is a move of God that He wants us to be intentionally leaning into, and that there's going to be a lot of spiritual awakening that's going to be happening. It's already happening, actually. I have amazing conversations with people that are saying things like, I'm coming alive. I love it. And they've been walking with the Lord maybe for decades. Maybe they grew up in church, but they're still experiencing this amazing, deeper, more mature expression and experience with the Trinity. And so, over a bit of time, I want to use 2 Corinthians 13:14 as a template to explore these depths of God. And it's actually kind of an interesting verse to grab hold of, 2 Corinthians 13:14, because the verse is a blessing at the end of Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. It's actually his second letter, and he wrote this as a way of signing off, essentially. And so often we read those kind of last sentences of the letters of Paul, and we kind of just brush over them, like, oh, it's like saying, sincerely yours, you know? But let me just tell you that there's more to it than that. In fact, Paul, he wrote many of his letters while he was in prison, and he had a scribe who was actually, he was dictating. And so someone would be writing for him. And then at the very end of his letters, he would take the pen and the paper, and in his own handwriting, he would write out these last couple of sentences. And it was a way to convey to the people who were receiving these letters, this is really my heart for you. Sincerely, my heart for you. These are people that he poured his life into. I mean, he'd been with them, and he was like a spiritual papa to them. They were his spiritual family, and he had instructed them as a spiritual father. And so, as he often closed his letters, you know, with those what were his parting words? What was on his heart? What was the desire that he had in his heart for his spiritual family? And I would shift that even to take it a little more personally. Like, what would be my blessing that I would want to speak over my children? And so this is it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's one, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, which you could say the love of the Father, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with experientially, episodically, be with you. Amen. And so, grace of the Lord, I'm going to explore grace. I'm going to explore the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to explore the love of the Father. I'm going to explore fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Grace, love, and fellowship of God be with you, integrated in your life, in your families, your call, your occupation. This is a frontier that I believe God is inviting us into as a fellowship. I'm excited about it. I really am. And so with that, I'd like to close and just ask you to stand with me if you wouldn't mind. I'm going to pray that blessing over you. And I'm just going to ask God to begin to reveal himself to you in fresh ways as you read the scripture, as you spend time in meditation and silence and solitude and prayer, as you spend time in community, encouraging one another, as you spend time just in life, letting God unfold things. Just put your hands out like you're wanting to receive a fresh impartation of God's grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of Father God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. May these be with you, and may the Lord himself, expressed in these three ways, grace, love, and fellowship, be with you. And I pray that you would experience just an awakening in your own souls of the nearness of God. And I pray that you would experience new creative expressions and ways of expressing them. And I just bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.